Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this world. Thank you, Lord, for cleaning up your bride, cleaning up your people, and preparing to build your kingdom. Amen. Okay, we're going to continue with Tests Prove Who is the Bride, number 7. Very interesting teachings. And we're going to start off with this verse here. The curse that is causeless alighteth not. And this is a revelation given to Claire Pinar, 7:28-21. I dreamed I was at a campground with Rion, my husband, and family. Many of their friends were with them. The campground, I believe, here represents our own personal wilderness of trials that we go through to prove us. The in-laws represent the religious apostates that are among us and still in bondage to legalism and false doctrines and don't know the power of God. I watched them try to teach their children to swim, but it was not going well. My sister-in-law seemed to let her son and her daughter almost drown each time they went in the water, due mainly to distraction. Well, we know that the water represents the curse of this world and the curse that's written by the word itself. And when we are under false teachings from apostate Christianity, we never learn true faith in the word that delivers us from the curses of this world. The children of this mother go from disaster to disaster, almost dying because of a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Okay, that seems to sum it up. As I sat in the shade, in other words, in darkness, and looked at my hands, a yellow wasp stung me on my left hand, where my index finger and palm meet. Then a red wasp came to sting me on my right hand, where my thumb and palm meet. Well, I'll point out to you that the area between these two stings is where the index finger's muscle and nerves and tendons are. It's the root and the strength of that left finger. And the left is our negative side, right? It's the finger we point with, or judge, or assign blame with. Matthew 7:1 says, judge not that you be not judged. And when we see the apostates' mistakes, we want to learn from them. And not go there with them, obviously, but without personally judging them, for they are just without grace. And one day the Lord is able to make them stand, and they will, we hope. At least the elect among them will. I thought, that was silly. They stung me unprovoked, and now they will die. Well, Proverbs 26:2, the curse that is causeless alighteth not. And she said, I thought of this quote from page 126 of the book Sovereign God. There are scorpion spirits. The Greek word for scorpion is scorpios, which means scatter or to penetrate and put to flight. Scorpion spirits of fear, depression, manic depression, paranoia, worry, anxiety, suicide, guilt, condemnation, and dementia, to name a few, penetrate the mind and cause one to flee from an enemy that they should be chasing. A scorpion's venom is in its tail, just as a hornet. The hornet can put a large man to flight through fear. God sent the hornet to drive out the enemy from before the Israelites through fear. That's in Deuteronomy 7 and 20, Joshua 24 and 12, and Exodus 23, 27 through 28. Okay, she said, I felt like I was going lame or becoming paralyzed as the poison went through my body. I could feel no pain, but I knew this was not supposed to affect me this way. Well, we must first confess any sins so that we have authority in faith to be delivered from the curse. And then we can cast down all vain imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, because we know that we were already healed and delivered at the cross. Okay. I looked up at my brother-in-law, who is an eye surgeon, and said, it's your chance to shine. Come and help get these stingers out. But he couldn't help me. It was like his fingers were putty. Well, of course, they're very trained fingers, but they are not able to do this. The heads of the apostate woman church, okay, this was the husband of the wife, right, are powerless to deliver from the curse. And she said this denotes the knee-jerk reaction to trust in the arm of the flesh, but we must be renewed with the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2 and 16. To speak the same as Christ so that we can be conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8, 29 through 30. I also think God was showing us in this dream that He, through His Son, is our only true healer. All others who claim the position of healer will be put to shame. True. And it's happening now. I said, oh, okay. And I prayed, but the prayer in my mind was so quick, I don't even think that I uttered the words, and the stingers were removed without the bulbs of poison being broken. I was aware during this whole experience that I felt no pain and there was no swelling or inflammation. And she has in parentheses, these spirits are often part of the generational curse. We must speak in faith that we are reckoned dead unto sin, but alive in Christ, according to Romans 6, 11, right? Then I saw my sister-in-law take her daughter to the rapids. The child could not swim. So swimming obviously represents staying above the curse of death, which the water represents, right? Could not swim, and a lot of children of the apostate church can't swim. And her mother was only half watching her for safety. Well, we know the apostate church does not care for the spiritual well-being of her children. And I said to Rion, I can't watch this. And she has in parentheses, our family's spiritual shortcomings can make us uncomfortable, but our love for them is proven through our faith in the promises of household salvation. Also, this part of the dream reminds me of the persecution we receive from our families when we come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus speaks of this in Luke 12, 51 through 53. Think ye that I am come to give peace in the earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For there shall be from henceforth five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. They shall be divided father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against her mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. This persecution is painful, but very useful in burning away the wood, hay, and stubble. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:12 and 13 says, But if any man buildeth on the foundation, gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and stubble, each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire. And the fire itself shall prove each man's work what sort it is. And this is true. We go through it. When we stand on the Word of God and we agree with the Word of God, when we go through the fiery trial, it's the wood, hay, and the stubble that burns up, and we have more of Christ and less of us, right? Then, she said, the scene changed, and I arrived at a glass house before dawn. Well, a glass house would enable the bride to see clearly the coming of the son or coming of the man-child, and others would not recognize him. This would be a repetition of history, wouldn't it? It was cool. I could smell the dew. The peace and wonder about the place was palpable. Well, 1 John 3 and 2 says this, Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And that is why the man-child is coming, is so that people can see the real Jesus, right? The house was built into a rock face, and it was in an old suburban area. It was so lovely. I looked to my left, and I knew that there was where the hills met the sea. Psalm 91 and 1 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And as I watched the sky get lighter, I noticed there was a battalion of army men almost perfectly camouflaged on the embankment. I walked up to them and whispered to one man, How's it going? And he replied, We've been here since 5 p.m. yesterday. I offered him some food, but I don't know what it was. I believe these army men represent our brethren who are also in a battle doing spiritual warfare against the beast on behalf of the brethren and the kingdom of God. In 1 Peter 5 and 8, we're told, Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, with whom withstand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. She said, I noticed that these men had varying complexions. Some were dark, some tanned, some olive, some pale. But they all had the same uniform with helmets and boots and belts. And I believe this represents spiritual warriors from all races and nationalities doing warfare against our spirit enemies. And, of course, they've got the same armor, and the armor is Christ, right? The Word, right? Ephesians 6, 11 through 18 says, Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. With all taking up the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and supplications, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Well, this is a good text to be obeying right now, especially. It is very needed. Amen. She said, during this dream, I kept on having the feeling that people were not seeing what I was seeing. Well, this is true. She was in the glass house, right? It seemed that they were all entertained with life and not looking further to the spiritual. So the distractions in the physical realm keep us from seeing our need of warfare in the spiritual realm, right? The general of the battalion, which we believe is Jesus, motioned to the troops that they needed to look to their left, in the water near the rocks. I went over to the rocks and saw a giant pink colossal squid that swam away like it had been spooked. Well, you know, once the devil is found out, his tricks don't really have the same effect, right? And so he leaves. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much, the Bible says, right? It was easily the size of an ocean liner. I wondered if they'd tried to spear it or gun it down, but they just left it to swim away. Well, we don't wrestle with the flesh and the blood of this monster, right? We wrestle with the spirits, right? And she said, I believe that this is what the prayers of the saints do. The enemy turns and runs, like the Bible says in James 4 and 7. Be subject therefore unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Oh, yes. Good point. Thank you, Father. This giant squid reminds me of the corporate body of the deep state vaccine beast program that we've been shown in dreams. The Hydra vulgaris microorganisms that have been placed inside the vaccine vials and is taking so many lives around the world. Amen. And as I started walking back to the glass house, I woke up. I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random for this dream and received Ezekiel 12 and 2. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of the rebellious house, that have eyes to see and see not, and have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Better to live in that glass house, right, where you can see everything. I asked the Lord what the battalion represented and received by faith at random, 1 Chronicles 22:14. In context, 8 through 16. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. And this, of course, is speaking of the Davids, right? The former reign man-childs, who have fought against the enemies of God and his people and won, as we shall see. And they shed much blood because Matthew 11 and 12 says, And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and men of violence take it by force. Now, the house of God will be built by the fruit of the Davids with the Solomon or peaceful anointing, which is the latter reign anointed man-child reformers. So there's a change of spirit. We've been through the spirit of repentance, the John the Baptist spirit. We're going through the Davids and coming to the David's fruit, which is, of course, the spiritual man of David. And that is the Solomon anointing, the latter rain anointing. Verse 9, behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all of his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. Not the world now, take notice. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. By the way, that's the same thing that was said of David, who said this, verse 11, now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has spoken concerning thee. Only the Lord give thee discretion and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, so that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou observe to do the statutes and ordinances which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now behold, in my affliction I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and that thou mayest add thereto. Okay, so the Davids are going to come up with this gift to pass on through Solomon to the building of the temple. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, all men that are skillful in every manner of work. Yes, Lord, we need those skillful workers. Of the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron, there is no number. Arise and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Well, this, of course, will be the final and true house of God, made up of the chosen and fruitful people of God, not buildings that people think are holy, which are not. Okay, they all pointed to this one, okay? And this next revelation was given to Claire. We called it Fight in the Heavenlies on 9/10/21. It was given. This dream will definitely encourage others who are fighting against witchcraft, disease, and lying symptoms right now. I dreamed that fiery animated bugs were flying all around me. I was also animated, and I had a red helmet on. And I believe these bugs could very well be the stuff that the deep state is spraying out there, the disease that they're spraying out there to try to kill off as many as possible. And she goes on to say, the animation tells us that this is not our reality, but we battle our enemies in the spirit realm, even though we have these earth suits. This fight is not against flesh, even though the lying spirits of pain and discomfort confuse us. And we're already in the heavenlies. We are already fighting from and in the spirit of victory through Christ Jesus, who loved us. The red helmet represents the helmet of salvation, and it's only the blood of the Lamb that washes away our sins. The helmet of salvation is to permit no attacks against your mind. If you believe and stand on the Word of God, these will bounce off, right? And I'll share what Numbers 21, 5 through 9 says. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, and there is no water, and our soul loatheth this light bread, which represented the Word of God. They got tired of the Word of God, and so much of the church has. So, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. Oh, injections. And much people of Israel died, as we are seeing now. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So they're asking the man-child Moses to pray, right? The apostate leaders speak against the Word. They don't agree with the Word. That's why people are dying with these injections, because they're trusting in the arm of the flesh. They're speaking against the Word. They're commanding their people to go and take these shots that are murderous. And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a standard. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he seeth it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, and set it upon the standard. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked unto the serpent of brass, he lived. Well, this represents getting our eyes on Jesus, who bore the sins and the curse for those who believe. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who in his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." It's already done, folks. Stop trying to convince God. Convince yourself. It's already done. We're healed. "The Lord told me to fight, so I started wielding my sword left and right. The Lord zoomed out my perspective, and I saw us fighting in his blue sky. It was like I was floating in the sky." Well, let me say that only those who abide in heavenly places in Christ can win this battle. As Ephesians tells us very plainly, we have to listen, and we abide in Christ by abiding in his Word. "Then he zoomed out even more, and I saw me in a golden glow within the blue sky. It was now beyond planet Earth in the heavenlies. Then my perspective zoomed out one more time, and all I saw was blue." And I think of how David Eales and my husband Rion have often said, if the Holy Spirit was visible, it would be all you see, because he is everywhere, and we are in him and of him. Amen. I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received Isaiah 58:12. "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, that which was destroyed because God's people fell away, and the enemy beast came in and destroyed," right? "Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." Amen. So the paths have to be restored, so people walk the right way. It was called the way in the book of Acts. Amen. So here's another one that fits really well with these, and it's still, and it's Claire's too. 9:9:21. "Don't be moved. Stay on Mount Zion." Here's a short dream I received about the bride staying on Mount Zion. No matter what the enemy throws at us. I dreamed that my husband, Rion, and I were on top of Mount Zion. We were standing in white clothing. Well, we know that Rion's name means little king, and he represents the corporate man-child body, and Claire means brightness, and is representing the corporate body of the first fruits bride body. And together they will have authority on top of Mount Zion over the rest of the kingdom of God on earth. And not because of themselves, but because Jesus lives in these entities. and by his word and by his spirit. A crazy black man tried to come towards us on the mountain. In my mind, I saw him shouting at us. This man represents evil spirits or demons, I would continue to say, who rule in those who are vessels of dishonor, like the factious and the apostates in the church and the state. He kept on shouting at us, quote, "Mine the mountain, mine the mountain," unquote. And we said, quote, "No, we will not mine the mountain," unquote. Well, mine here means to seek gain out of our position on the mountain, which is the kingdom. And this is what the Judas apostate leaders do. They want gain. They just want to plunder the church. That's all they're interested in doing. And she has in parenthesis, "We do not cave in to the enemy's desires for us to work in the flesh." And I would say for the flesh, right? He got angrier and angrier, and it felt like he had waved a gun in my face, even though I don't remember seeing any gun. We just shook our heads and said no. He started sending attacks towards us like bugs, heat, and wind. We just calmly waved our hands to shoo these pests away and said, "We will not be moved." Amen. An exhortation to the bride and the man-child not to be moved. Isaiah 46, 5 through 7 says this, "God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He utters his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." And she said, "I heard the Lord's voice say, 'Stay on Mount Zion.'" Then the dream ended. Well, Obadiah 1 and 21 says, "And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received Psalm 44, 1, in context 1 through 5. "My finger was on. We have heard with our ears, O God. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the days of old. Thou didst drive out the nations with thy hand, but them thou didst plant. Thou didst afflict the peoples, but them thou didst spread abroad. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou wast favorable unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverance for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our adversaries. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us." Okay, boy, see how awesome the words are that we get by faith in the Lord to give us a random verse. Because God is sovereign over all things. Okay, this is Marie Kelton's revelation, 9:10-21. And we called it, "The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent take it by force." During the meeting on Friday, I had an open vision of a huge demon walking past me. I was wearing all white with a white head covering. And she puts in parenthesis, "representing my spiritual man." Well, we know that our spiritual man is sanctified and has the authority of Jesus over all of our enemies through our faith in what Jesus did for us at the cross. Amen. The demon stopped in front of me and grabbed me by the throat and was holding me in the air, choking me. Well, the demons love to try to choke the breath or spirit, same word, out of us through fear and intimidation. And if they can steal the word of God that was sown in our hearts, then they can rob us of our faith and choke out our life in Christ. I managed to speak, and I told the demon, quote, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, unquote. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember that. You have to remember that. It is not you that does this work. It is Christ in you. Amen. Then I saw the Lord, or an angel, with armor on, walk up behind the demon, and he took his sword and stabbed it through its body. The demon dropped me and fell to the ground, defeated. And we know Deuteronomy 30 and 1 says, the Lord your God who goeth before you, he will fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And Hebrews 1:14, are they, speaking of the angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? Amen. I've been told many times, send the angels, command the angels. Now, the angels don't do wrong, so you can't be out of the will of God and send the angels, right? But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you. That's the good thing. I asked the Lord after the vision, what did the demon represent? And he told me, the cares of this life. Then these verses came to my mind. Matthew 13:22. And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Amen. After the vision, I asked the Lord, why do I always see the angels either stabbing the demons or cutting their heads off? Then I heard the Lord say, the violent take it by force. There it is again. And I thought of this verse, Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and men of violence take it by force. Amen. And Winnie Asagueda got on 9/21/21, we called it, the enemy wants to choke out God's life in us. Ooh, these things are fitting together very well, aren't they? I had a very intense dream that felt so real. I dreamed my daughter, Zoe, meaning God's life, was standing and had been eating something that looked like a stuffed apple. Is that kind of like Snow White? The apple could represent the forbidden fruit that Satan tempted Eve with in the garden, too. Could represent that, or Snow White, an attempt to take down Snow White by the evil witch, right? And the outside of the apple was kind of wrinkled looking, like when you roast a pepper. The inside was stuffed with some creamy looking stuffing or cheese. And of course, we know that the enemy always makes sin look appealing and appetizing, but it's for our death, right? Zoe suddenly began to choke, and I quickly tried to get the food out of her mouth by sticking my hands inside her mouth to remove it, and I was not able to get out what was lodged in her throat, and she lost consciousness and became lifeless. So I had to hold her up. Well, we know feeding the flesh nature will cause us to lose spiritual consciousness and separate us from the life of God. She went on to say, I began saying, in the name of Jesus, and then yelled out for my husband with all my might. And her husband is Chuck. And Chuck represents Jesus, our heavenly husband, the only true deliverance that we have from sin and the cures of this world, the curses of this world, excuse me, that choke out our spiritual lives in Christ. Romans 8, 9 through 11 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Well, that's interesting because her daughter's name is Zoe, which is God's life, right? Then I woke up suddenly, and a spirit of fear tried to come upon me, but I cast it down. I asked the Lord for verses regarding this dream and received Psalm 57 and 6. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, and they are fallen into the midst thereof themselves. Yes, just remember, God promises this all through the book, and especially in Psalms and Proverbs, that the enemy will fall into their own traps. They will destroy themselves. Ezekiel 19 and 7. And he knew their palaces, and he laid waste their cities, and the land was desolate in the fullness thereof because of the noise of his roaring. Yeah. Well, Satan is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if we open up doors for him through disobedience to God's word and his life, then he will conquer us, and the old man will take our land. Yeah. Okay, this one was given to Marie Kelton, 10/18/21. The dragon is standing at the door. During the night, I saw Satan as a big black dragon standing by the front door of our assembly. Well, as we can see in Revelation 12, the dragon is attempting to devour the man-child just as the faction does. The dragon asked me, why don't you leave? Well, the devil's always trying to tempt us with faction and division. He has succeeded in weeding out the body of Christ in this way for thousands of years. And according to the parable of the sower, 3 of 4 people will be removed. Amen. Then Satan turned into a huge black snake and started to wrap around my body so that I couldn't move. I spoke the word of God, and Satan let me go. Well, same thing happened with Jesus. He spoke the word of God, and Satan left, right? The word of God counters the waters that the dragon spews out of his mouth to try to destroy the woman in Revelation chapter 12. He's busy at work. You must resist him. Amen. Then he started going to the back row. He was switching between a dragon and a snake. An angel was in the back row. The angel took his sword and cut him in half. Well, this is the great dragon, that old serpent spoken about in Revelation 12 and 9. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan. And we know, of course, that he has a body of 7 heads and 10 horns, which is given to the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns in the book of Revelation. And, of course, there's only 2 people in the earth, Christ and Antichrist. And Antichrist dwells in the body that we're talking about here. Right? I saw Satan as a dragon again, but this time he was going into the middle row. He turned his head and roared at me like a lion, and I yelled at him, "Stop!" 1 Peter 5 and 8, "Be sober and be watchful. Your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." You know, he has to have permission to devour you. He has to have your permission to devour you. If you agree with him, you're opening a door. If you agree with God, you're closing that door. Amen. As a dragon went into the middle row, I saw angels walking toward him. But he flew up into the air, and the angels went after him. Well, that reminds us of Revelation 12 and 7, right? And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels. But guess what? The saints were holding to the faith, and so the angels were able to cast him down, right? I heard the accuser of the brethren, quote-unquote. Revelation 12 and 10 says, "And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night." Well, amen. You know, God's already given us the victory, saints. We have nothing to worry about whatsoever. He said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Fear not what you see around you or what you hear is coming, like the plagues or whatever. Fear not, the Lord is with you. The Lord will give you victory over your enemies. How can two walk together except they be agreed?" You want Jesus to walk with you? Agree with his word. Don't do what the apostates do by making up their own religion, cutting and dicing up the word and leaving this out, "It's not for today," and all this garbage. If you do that, you will become a victim of Satan. You have no armor on. Notice, all of the armor is related to the word. If you reject any of the word, you're rejecting part of your armor. God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." So it's happening. Many of God's people die an early death, for instance, because they don't believe the promises of health and healing from Jesus all the way through the Bible. They don't believe the word of God. They go to a dead religion that doesn't believe the supernatural parts of the word of God, which were never taken away. And we're warned in the book of Revelation at the end not to add to or take away from these words, or the curses of the book will be upon you and you'll be excluded from the holy city. So, are you going to listen to these people? If you do, you are an idolater. You are respecting men. You are respecting religion. Repent, or you will not be spared. You've already cost yourself and your family much because you did not believe the word of God. Let us be working diligently to believe what God says so that we have victory over the enemy. We are to abide in heavenly places in Christ. If you are in heavenly places, you are above the fray. You are in Christ. And in Christ means in the Word, because He is the Word of God. Are you abiding in what you know the Word says? Do you know that Jesus gave you His life so that you could abide in His Word? He made reconciliation at the cross. He made an exchange. That's what reconciliation means. He made an exchange of His life for yours, and now you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. This is a wonderful revelation of the real gospel that many of you have never heard. It's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So you don't live anymore. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He will do the work. Put your faith in Him. He will do the work. Don't you know that the Bible tells you that He has delivered you out of the power of darkness? It's already been done, but the gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. There is no promise to what we loosely call Christians. It's to the believer, the believers, the disciples. Jesus called them disciples, which is a learner and a follower of the Word and of Christ. Right? There are many religions out there. And just as in Jesus' day, they were all wrong. Come out from among them and be ye separate. There are many daughters of the harlot out there. And so come out from among them and be separate. It's you and Jesus. Get in the Word of God. Learn from the original teachers, not the latter-day teachers. Learn from the original teachers. Get your mind founded in the Word of God, and the devil will be able to do nothing with you, just like when he was trying to take down Jesus in the garden, right? Yeah. Or in the wilderness. He was trying to take Him down. And, but the Lord kept throwing the Word up in His face. That was His sword. He was slicing Him every time. And the devil decided to leave for a more convenient season. He never did actually find one with Jesus. Even though God permitted him through the Roman beast and the Jewish harlot to kill Jesus, that was a victory because he bore the curse for us. This was a victory. And if the devil had known what he was going to do, he would have never done it, because that gave us the victory. He bore the curse so that we don't have to. And the devil is constantly trying to accuse you. You need to send him back where he came from, because the Lord has given us the victory over the devil. And we can cast him down along with his demons. And we know that because they love not their life unto death, in the book of Revelation chapter 12, that Satan was cast down and all of his demons to the earth. That's their heavenly position above and over the people of God, now being cast down to the earth. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you that you have delivered us out of the power of darkness already. It says so in your word. It's past tense. And yet few believe the good news. It's called the good news, or the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Everyone that believeth. Father, please ask your people to believe your word. Stop believing these dead religions that don't bring forth the fruit of Christ in the people because the works of Christ are not being manifest through them. We know they don't have the fruit of Christ. The fruit of Christ looks like Him. It acts like Him, just like those disciples who went forth and did everything and said everything that Jesus did. They were disciples. He's not calling these people today disciples. They're not learners and followers of Jesus. They're learners and followers of men. And they're not bearing fruit. And some of them are going to die in the midst of this plague because of that. Father, we thank you for the victory you have given us over Satan. We accept it and we take our authority over all the power of the enemy, including plagues, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all you have done for us. Thank you, our Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice in giving us your life. Amen. All right. God bless.